This is college football at its absolute best.
Yeah, they had us the first half, I'm not gonna lie.
Oh, could be Wayne!
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh!
Woo-hoo! I love it, baby!
Them orange britches! Something about them orange britches!
Ball hit high in the air into right field. Going back is Sayre. And Tennessee can say hello, Wynn Column. A grand slam in the bottom of the ninth. You can't draw it up any better.
We just won a basketball game, and we're very happy right now.
Josh McGrath for the win. He got it.
If you don't like college football, and you watch this one, I'm not sure what your problem is.
Reddit did to do, and welcome into More Important Issues. It is Sunday, February 25th. We won a basketball game. We're really happy right now. Really hits different after another just, not just beat down drumming, embarrassing, but to a team that you got embarrassed by just a few weeks ago. That I'm not saying I'm right, Landon. I'm not saying that or that I'm right all the time, because I am right about this and I am saying that. I'm not saying I'm right all the time. I'm right most of the time. That's just college basketball, though. That's how it goes. And I don't know exactly what would happen if we played this team a third time, but I've got a good guess.
Yeah, probably the way it went last night. At least you're hoping so.
More than likely. But that, I mean, college basketball is a weird sport. I thought this game was going to be weird when Wade Taylor goes 3 for 3, two of those kind of jacked up shots, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Really, really thought we were at least going to be in for a close one. Still thought Tennessee would win, should win. Kind of thought that, though, 2 weeks ago when he went ungodly numbers for 40 minutes. But, yeah, I mean, Tennessee looked like Tennessee again. And maybe some extra from guys like Carr, who just, that was such a nasty dunk. So nasty.
Yeah. What a just stamp on the game. Just like, we're already beating you by 30. Let's just go ahead and put an all time dunk on there too. Is it kind of like the Admiral dunk a couple years ago?
Almost, except Admirals was so far disrespectful because he didn't even try to beat the buzzer against Kentucky. Is that what you're talking about?
This was against Georgia, I think.
Oh, that during the game to kind of like seal that co-conference championship.
But yeah. The Kentucky one as well. Yeah,
the Kentucky. This one felt, probably more compared to Georgia only because this one didn't feel as disrespectful because it was Cam Carr. But if it was Dalton Connect in there or something, probably closer to Tennessee's versus Kentucky, which was awesome.
Yeah.
I do want to – I know we're going to go guys who impress later on. I'm going to go ahead and hit mine real quick because I want to hit a few points on this. Tobey Awaka, dude. Tobey Awaka continues to impress, continues to play good basketball. Tennessee looks like a really good basketball team when him and AD were on the court together with starters, not with whatever B squad he had out there the first time they rolled out Saturday. That don't ever do that again, Rick, please. That's not good for either. Not good for the team. Not good for my heart. Especially when, I'm sorry, I feel like I'm calling a guy out, but Jordan Ganey struggled last night, period. I think he was one of the two guys in the minus last night.
Who is the other one? Do you know?
And he might not have been in the minus because the chart I saw was charted for the game. So he's like minus 4 at one point. So he might have gotten that back later on. So that might not be right. I'm going to see if I can find it. Because I want to say Adu is at minus 3 for a stretch.
Which is insane because he is 18 and 14.
Yeah. I think it was the stretch, though, that Jordan Ganey was in the minus too. I think he came out at the same time. If Tobey Awaka continues playing really good basketball alongside Jonas Adu, I think that makes this team just another step better.
Yeah, it seems like as we've went on like this kind of run, if we're able to get something going in the first half, just just not fall flat on your face kind of something. It seems like the second half just goes pretty smoothly.
Yeah, and even sometimes if you play teams out of Missouri.
We're like a second half team that doesn't have to just play crappy in the first half to be a second half team.
Yeah, and then if you play a team as bad as Missouri, though, it doesn't matter what you do in the first half. You can still win.
Exactly.
Yeah. Trash about Missouri. We don't talk trash about bad teams anymore. We're done doing that. I'm just saying.
Is Texas A&M a bad team?
Texas A&M is what it's one of those teams. I would also like to say, I'm not saying I'm right. I said I don't want to play in an SEC stretch. Texas A&M and Arkansas are teams I don't want to play. I'm just saying I did say that on the road. I mentioned that. So I wasn't surprised entirely. I didn't think they would beat us how they beat us going, you know, I didn't think the rim would be a gaping hole for them that everything falls into. I thought it would be much low scoring, close game, but that wasn't the case. But yeah, I mean, they're a physical basketball team. I don't think they're good. Mm-hmm. It feels like a team that if they had, I don't know. Well, I almost said they needed a good big man that could score points. I don't think that would be their only fix because they just can't shoot. They flat out can't shoot.
Yeah. Yeah. If they're not able to go on a run like they, I mean, that was the Tennessee was still winning and they were hitting every shot with Wade Taylor.
Yeah.
And then he was 3 for 3 at one point. And then, I mean, I don't think I've ever seen a cold stretch quite like that from Wade Taylor. Or from anybody.
Yeah.
That was incredible. I mean, just well, nothing after that.
And all their best players struggled too. Washington got 2 fouls real early. Mm-hmm. Radford didn't score until there was like 6 minutes left in the first half. And so the guys that they looked to score couldn't score, and that's just
well, they're not going to work for them. Doesn't like to shoot a lot of threes. They shot 34, and maybe they were trying to get back in it, but it just seemed like
I don't know when they accumulated all those. Wade Taylor was heat checking from the last time he played Tennessee, though. For sure was.
Yeah.
I don't know what his normal average is, but he came in.
That was their only way that they were going to try to beat Tennessee is, hey, they're really good defensively. They do give up some open threes at times. We're just going to try to shoot the lights out. If it's not our night, we're going to probably lose by 30, and that's exactly what happened.
I mean, it's tough, too. They kept their coach off the court. It's clear they saw the last run of this game. I told you – I asked you guys, and you all – they didn't mention it on TV. I had to listen to the first half on the radio, and Bert said that he got issued – or not issued a warning, but that the refs told him to back up at one point and stay off the court. And for the most part, he did. I mean, it was not a normal Buzz Williams appearance. Mm-mm. He was shook. I don't even think he was wearing glasses.
Yeah. I think that was probably a we just took them off their game. Like they couldn't do anything. I mean they usually have 6 defenders, so when you usually have 6, now you're playing with 5. I mean, defense takes a step back and they took a couple steps back.
There was a ball in the corner I noticed in the replay the first half so I can dig into watch. There was a ball in the corner that typically he's standing on the free throw line extended. He had both feet off the court last night.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, our boy's growing up. Pretty soon he'll wear a jacket with that vest. He's getting big.
Did it take a Duke player to get people off the court?
Dude, don't get me started on that crap.
I mean... Yeah, maybe don't use like your ankle as a way to like shove somebody out of the way.
I'm not blaming either side. I know people want to go, it's clearly the Wake Forest fans' fault. I'm not blaming anybody, but I would like to note every time we discuss a player getting touched, injured, whatever, or a player touching, it's always the player that initiated it. What happened to the other 4 guys on the court or the other guys on the bench? Jermaine Burton situation. What happened to the other Alabama players?
Yeah.
Caitlin Clark situation. Why didn't any other Iowa player get touched?
I mean, they lost by more than one possession, so why was Filipowski even, like, on the court?
I don't know, but if you watch the overhead and you don't think he initiated contact, you're a moron.
Yeah.
You're stupid. And again, I mean, there's a guy that pushes him after. I don't know if he would have pushed him if he. I don't know. We will never know. He shouldn't have done it. It was dumb. It's whatever. You could, and people were like, put police officers out there and they'll stop storming. Yeah. College kids are known to notoriously listen to the police. You got it. You nailed it, son.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? Well, tase everybody?
There's a great.
That would be awesome. Double hair tasing people.
There's a great way to end all of this, and that's it. Don't lose.
Yeah. And then don't ask for everybody's sympathy either when you clearly shoved a guy.
Right.
He can't play the next game. He cannot play the next game. You have to say he was injured. He can't. You can't. You cannot put on a show like that and then play the next game. It's not allowed.
Yeah, that was hilarious. I just love it. It was a big deal, and it's probably not a big deal. But because it happened to Caitlin Clark, and then we just had to make – it just seems like it steamrolls after that.
Caitlin Clark, like that girl's not looking at all. And she obliterated her. And then everyone's going, well, Filipkowski should have been on the court. The students shouldn't have been. And I'm like, I don't know. Seems like they let them, so why shouldn't they be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I don't disagree. There needs to be better standards in place where the security guards, because you can't stop everybody from storming, but you can keep them kind of funneled to an area, sure. But like you said, he was also in the very middle of the court while all this is going on. When you know you're probably about to get stormed on.
Here's the thing. How do we expect the security to stop everybody when Duke couldn't stop anybody either?
Right. Double-handed tasers is the only answer.
Yep. Don't lose.
All right. Back to A&M, who could certainly be stopped. And I see, this is where I'm disappointed in Tennessee fans. If we were really good trolls, I know we think we're really good trolls. If we were really good trolls, that court would have gotten stormed last night. Just to show Buzz Williams what it feels like for people who aren't supposed to be on the court to be on the court. It's not because they're good, because newsflash, they're not. We had an NIT chant going. I think we should have had an overrated chant going, because they actually are overrated. And no one thinks they're good, but they're still overrated.
Yeah, I think it's pretty crappy that if I ran onto the court in the middle of the game, I would be taken to jail probably.
Buzz Williams fine. Easy money.
Didn't get anything.
Nothing.
Nope.
Yeah, I think we should have stormed last night. I put this blame on Joey Boots. If he was truly boots on the ground, those boots would have been on the ground.
Yeah. I agree. I do want to talk about Zakai. And I know we're up by so much, but man, I'd love to see a guy get a triple-double.
Yeah,
especially a guy who had – as many rebounds as
he had the most. He was the team leader, wasn't he? Oh, no, sorry.
No, AD. Yeah. AD. Yeah. But he had the same amount of rebounds as he is inches over 5 foot tall. So
you think he's there, Landon? There's no way he's 5'9".
Oh, that's what they have him listed as.
I know. There's just no way. I love the guy. I'm not dogging him.
I get it. I'm 6 foot anyway. So
yeah. I put that one on the stat guy that. That sits behind Rick Barnes. Rick Barnes shouldn't know how close he is. You got to lean up and you got to inform him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's got to be on your SID or somebody to
no, they've got those guys on the bench keeping them.
Okay. Yeah.
That dude with the red hair flowing, I know he knows. He's got to lean up and tell her.
Yeah. Get him one more point.
Yeah. At least get the double-double at this point. Yeah.
And that was so fun to watch him just be in complete control of the offense for how many minutes? 35 minutes.
It was awesome. Shout out from Lamonte Turner.
Yeah, he did. I saw that. I mean, 14 assists and zero turnovers is insane. I mean, just think about the amount of dribbling he did last night and didn't make a mistake. Yeah. I don't even think I can dribble on a court for that amount of time by myself and not like have a turnover. I really don't.
That was so far the other way. I'm shocked. I don't even know what to say. I think I could, but I get your point, but I think I could do that.
I mean, even if I like, if you're going double,
you're
going to
actually double dribble at one point.
Yeah, or just like,
what happens if you do? When do if you do pick up your dribble, you just have to hold it for the next 20 minutes, or how does that work?
Okay. Gotta shoot it.
I mean, done. Just a from a point guard perspective, a pretty flawless game. Obviously, not his best shooting affair, but he also wasn't taking dumb. He took one dumb shot, I think. Actually, I don't know. Was that late in the shot clock? It didn't seem like it was. You know what I'm talking about?
No. From,
I mean, it was almost really. A logo three.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if you're almost getting a triple double, I mean, feel yourself you a want. Little bit. I'm cool with that.
Yeah.
And I just love the way he plays defense. Like the way he just, he kind of baits, like he's going to double team somebody. And then as soon as they like don't look his way, he's picking their pocket and going the other way.
It's I also like, watch. I like that he is, I feel like he's gotten into this recently where he'll go, a guy will start to like back him down and he'll try to get around him to get it. And he'll end up defending the guy from our basket, essentially. But the guy is so concerned with getting it stolen, he doesn't just take off towards the rim.
Yeah.
So if he doesn't get the ball, he's just able to get back in position.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a lot of, not a lot of people are feared like that.
Yeah. He gets a lot especially of jump balls too. Like he just like grabs the ball.
Oh, I mean,
like when it's in somebody else's possession.
Well, I mean, Ziegler. Okay. Sorry. I thought you meant actual. Like rebounds, for example. Ziegler and Vescovi being some of the best rebounders on the team is hilarious.
Yeah. It's always right place, right time.
Right place, right time, and then a little bit of fearlessness in both of them.
Maybe Brandon Miller should learn that. Instead of...
Wrong place at the wrong time?
Yeah.
That whole program.
Shambles. Hate to see it, man. Being it's tough being number one in the SEC. It really is. Tough job.
You know what really sucks is if I get finished today, we would be sharing the title with Alabama. They don't have tiebreakers, I'm pretty sure.
Even head to head. That's crazy.
We lost didn't we lose to Auburn the year we shared really? With them? I think so. 18. Yeah. So really, I mean, and that I mean obviously, you'd love to be the one seed in the SEC tournament. That, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't matter. But to win a regular season SEC title outright, those four games become super critical.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, being a co-champion, it's like being the co-player of the week. It's like, okay, just pick one.
Yeah, I don't disagree that they're dumb. It goes into – we had this discussion either last Sunday or recently where we talked about which is more – impressive, and I don't entirely disagree with your point that a season championship is more impressive, but in the sport where this is a tournament sport, the only one that matters is the tournament, quote unquote.
Yeah,
I think like it just doesn't. So like we would get the one seed today, but we would share championships, which I agree is dumb.
Yeah,
there's too many ways to break a tie that it should be that, but I also don't disagree if see I think it'd be sharing the title would make sense since we play Alabama twice. We split the series. It's going to be really dumb if we beat them twice and have to split it.
Well, the polls are like whoever kind of makes up these stupid, I guess it's the SEC. But I mean, going back to like the polls where they had Alabama 2 years ago in front of us, even though we beat them head to head. I mean, just like, does head to head not matter in anything anymore?
No, it's who looks best on paper.
It's unreal. I mean, if you're looking on paper, it's Tennessee. I mean, Kentucky boat raced Alabama.
Yeah.
Yesterday. And I know Alabama looks good. We got to go there. And that kind of sucks that, like, at the end of the day, we would share it. But if we have to go to their place and beat them, they would be ahead. God, it sucks. We lost to freaking Texas A&M and Mississippi State. That pisses me off. If that causes it, I'm going to be really upset about those two losses, even more so than I already am.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if that still is in place, but we did share with Auburn that year, didn't we?
Yeah, we did. You're right.
Just making sure I remembered correctly.
Yeah.
And yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with you, Blake, that it doesn't make sense. Mm-hmm. I think it should be outright. I'm just saying that's the importance they put on the tournament, which, to be fair to the sport, it is become like it is. So I was talking about this with someone the other day. The way the NCAA tournament is structured, it's the dumbest way to decide a champion because of how much relies on you being hot at that point in time, but it is also the most fun way.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, think about two in SEC play. Every single team makes it.
Yeah, that's kind of nuts. It's insane because, yeah, it like controls your seeding, but like everybody like wants to be a one seed.
At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter because you still have the same chance.
Right. And you're usually the top overall seed doesn't win it. So then you have to I think that's a psychological aspect of it too, or is like,
you're hunting.
Here we are. Yeah, you got that target on your back.
Yeah. I mean, NCAA basketball has auto bids. So you can be a team that's right on the verge and not make it because there's so many auto bids into the tournament.
Yeah.
A last place SEC team could make it into the NCAA tournament if they win the conference championship.
It's crazy.
A last place SoCon team could make it if they win the tournament. Which is, it's nuts. And it is somewhat true in every sport. But so football, you obviously have a playoff right now. It's still going to only be the top 12 teams. So you still have to have a really good regular season to make it. Baseball, again, somewhat. But the last two SEC teams don't make it in to the SEC tournament.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
But going back to basketball a little bit, or Tennessee basketball, I guess. Man, I'm loving this team right now. They're playing well. It seems like we got a specialist kind of on the floor at all times for something different. You know, Jonas is playing really well, getting a ton of rebounds, getting a ton of blocks. You got Zakai running the offense, getting a ton of assists, facilitating. You got one of the top scorers in the country in Dalton Connect. I mean, in every single aspect of the game yesterday, Tennessee whooped Texas A&M's ass. On the boards,
yeah,
assist, shooting, free throw line, three-point line, field goal percentage, all of it Tennessee dominated. And it was just fun. It was just fun to watch. Like, we didn't have to watch. It seemed like as soon as Wade Taylor cooled off, it was over.
Oh, yeah.
It was over. And when we could have ended the game after Vescovi hit that three-pointer in the half, it was it. They weren't coming back from that.
No.
I mean, they scored 24 points. They were down 10. They scored 24 points in the second half.
So, I guess, again, I wasn't listening on the radio. Was Dalton Connect in the game?
When?
For that last three in the first half?
I don't know.
Because
it seems like there's some weird stretches where he's just like not on the court, and you're like, where is he? I mentioned that last night. It was just like, hey, like this lineup isn't getting it done. I'd like to see something more. I say that we scored 86 points, but still.
Yeah, but I mean, that's super important down the stretch that you can go to other guys in those big moments, period, but especially in those big moments. If he's not on the court at all and you're able to execute a play like that, great. If he's on the court and he's not you feel comfortable going to another guy in that scenario, all the better.
Yeah.
All the better. I feel good about the way Connect's playing as we get in closer and closer to March. I feel even better, though, about the way this entire team is playing around him. They're not having to go away from him because he may seem gone for stretches, but it's not like he's playing bad basketball.
Mm-hmm.
And they're having to go away from him. They're just able to play quote unquote without him. A lot of that's due to teams are, and I don't blame them. Take away Dalton Connect. That's the first person you take away. You don't get beat by Dalton Connect. Mm-hmm. Get beat by the other four guys by all means, but don't get beat by Dalton Connect. But this team's able to play around him, and I think that's very, very important.
Gotcha. Ethan kind of said Connect was in the game, and then
blame Bob. And now I hate to put blame on Bert, but I feel like you should mention where Dalton Connect's on the floor and that they didn't. So I didn't know.
Yeah.
And I decided watching TV while I drive it and safe. So I did listen on the radio like a responsible motorist last night.
Yeah. Yeah, Tennessee's playing really good basketball right now. It's fun to watch. It seems like we're getting out in transition more. I don't know if that's a point of emphasis, but it's like, hey, like we are super athletic. Let's use it. We have a 7-footer that can run up and down the court like a giraffe, and not a baby giraffe, an actual
giraffe. Yeah, he got called a baby deer last night by somebody. Yeah.
No, he's not that. He's a full-blown deer.
You can legally shoot him in the woods.
Smooth gazelle, if you will. Yeah, it's fun to watch. I like getting out in transition. I like dunks.
You feel like it's not been enough this year?
What do you mean?
I feel like that problem got – I just feel like we've been out in transition. Outside of a couple of, like, not great games, I feel like this team's done a great job of getting out in transition all of SEC play. Outside of some games you didn't play well.
Yeah, I agree with that. I just think, like, I think this year has done a lot better than the past years where it just seems like we're just playing half-court offense, you know.
Yeah, comparing to previous years, 100%.
Yeah, yeah. But it is fun to watch because, like, when you have a guy like Zakai, you have a guy like Dalton Connect that can get to the rim in a step basically from half court, it seems like. We mentioned Jonas Adu. It's fun to watch.
How many transition layups did we miss in the first half?
Yeah, we missed a lot.
Really, what, like the first like 7 minutes? It didn't seem to happen after that. Yeah. Old nerves, place a little rattling a little bit.
I guess checkerboard kind of throw us off a little bit.
Yeah, just a unique background. You
know, Kim Mulkey was in town. I don't know if she was distracting.
Oh yeah, she was in town.
Yeah, so maybe.
No, I mean, obviously not the win by itself, not incredibly impressive, but bouncing back from, a good beatdown from this side just a few weeks ago is huge. I hope this next stretch is incredibly important for a lot of reasons. Number one, we've talked about this from trying to see, I guess it was after your win over Arkansas, the way everything lined up, it was – I mean, it's always true that you control your own destiny, but in terms of where you sat and the teams you played coming up, there's – like the most true statement of all time, you control your own destiny. You can beat the teams in front of you and sit where you're going to sit. You assumed there were going to be current one seeds that were going to lose. So this team 100% controls their own destiny. Again, Alabama is the only team right now that could potentially share the title with you. You beat them. That should change. South Carolina and Auburn, a team that could contend for it. You beat them. That should change. And then that Kentucky game, playing really, really well leading into the postseason, would do just a ton of positives for the mindset. And that's obviously, I think, your biggest game for a lot of reasons.
Yeah.
No, I mean, they're going to be the best basketball team in the country that Saturday for sure. So yeah, that will be the best team you face all postseason. If that will be the best team you face all postseason, even if you play a national title, 100%. They're the best team in the country when they come into Thompson. They're rarely do they play bad in Thompson Bowling.
Yeah. Well, Alabama's playing really good at home. On the road, not great. Auburn's really good at home. They have been pretty much horrible on the road, so that's a good sign for this upcoming game. Is that on Tuesday?
That's a Wednesday.
Wednesday night game.
Okay. Yeah.
And then Alabama's at 8 o'clock on Saturday night. Good God.
Love it, baby.
Jeez.
Love it.
I mean, it's kind of dangerous if you think about it. I mean, this team's got guns and stuff, and we're out like way past dark. Just seems unsafe to be in Tuscaloosa that late. I don't know.
They've got a lot going on in that program. You're starting to feel bad for them. I don't know if they've lost a lack of institutional control or what, but just a lot of questions. Also, can we quit pretending Mark Sears is great player, phenomenal player? Any other year, he's probably an SEC player of the year. Can we not pretend he's in the same boat as Dalton Connect?
It's not even close.
We're done with this. Sorry. I guess we get another chance to prove it again on Saturday, but let's quit pretending.
Yeah.
Also, let's play two Alabama schools back to back seems kind of unfair. Tennessee has to go up against a whole state this week.
Dang, they're giving up 78 points per game. I like that.
As hard as this stretch is, it lays out nicely for Tennessee. You mentioned Auburn struggles on the road. Mm-hmm. Alabama is a team you've beat. You match up well against.
Defense is horrible.
Yeah. You match up well against South Carolina. I wish it was reversed. I wish you hadn't lost him at home and you had lost him away at least, and you'd be playing him at home. That's huge. But flat out, you're better than that team. Now, they obviously have your number as of right now. It is a weeknight, which is scary. But again, you at least have the mindset, control your own destiny, go win this game. I think this shows Tennessee, in their minds, they should already have a tournament mentality for this regular season title. If you win out, you win it, period. No questions asked.
It does seem like every team Tennessee needs to get up for, they've done it so far this season.
Well, this A&M, is a term. This is a term.
Alabama, tournament. Kentucky, you've risen to the occasion each time. So let's continue to do that.
I would like to know Tennessee fans that are going to get upset over this stretch if they lose games this stretch and the SEC title or the SEC tournament stretch. You're going to get upset if they lose. Let's just remember basketball is a weird sport, and I'm not saying the history tells us Rick Barnes isn't successful. He won't get to the Final Four in the NCAA tournament. History tells us that. I won't deny that. But if we're going to pretend that this stretch says anything about what they'll do in the tournament, or the next stretch will say what they do in the tournament, let's just remember that Kentucky went undefeated and lost in the Final Four. The best season in probably basketball history didn't even result in a national championship.
Well, we're winning a national championship.
I mean, I would love that. I'm just saying, as much as I would also love an SEC regular season title and an SEC tournament title, that doesn't, at the end of the day, that doesn't determine if you're going to win a national championship. It's not football.
Yeah.
And I want to win a regular season title. I want to pants down. I want to pants Kentucky on our way to it as well. That would be so much fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm in for that. I know the SEC tournament. I know we've kind of talked about that. I don't want to talk about it very much, but I think I would be more impressed with a SEC regular season title outright.
I mean, at this point,
100%. Let's go do what we do in the – or not, I guess not what we do. Let's do something that
Tennessee won it 2 years ago.
Yeah. So, we've done –
it's what we do.
Yeah. Well, I'm talking about the NCAA tournament. I could care less about the SEC tournament.
Yeah, I would – I agree with you for – I mean, again – would love to win one outright in a tournament sport. I'd still argue one's more important than the other, but in terms of impressiveness, it is very impressive to do that. It is especially going to be impressive if this team can stare down the barrel of a 4-game stretch that says if we win out, we win it all. I want to see this team go ahead and turn on a tournament mentality.
Okay. Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, a lot of that NCAA tournament is yes, it's about luck. It's about getting hot at the right time, but there's also a mental toughness that doesn't necessarily apply to other sports. Because each team you face, you get one shot at them. Yep. I saw, as we were talking about tournament play and how the NCAA tournament is just weird. It's unique from every sport. Sure, baseball's like it, but you at least, even in super or even in regionals, you have a series feel to it. You don't necessarily have to win every game to advance. And same for supers, and then same for Omaha itself. You have it, and then you obviously make it to the title game, and it's a regular series. You don't have that in basketball. You have the team one time. And so to have that mentality of we're going to see this opponent one night, we got to have it on. So this is the tournament. And if Rick Barnes' team is mature enough for it, which God, I hope so, we have a bunch of guys that are about to be collecting pensions here soon, then you should be able to say to them, this is win or go home scenario for the regular season title. We've got to be on. And you can, you could win it with a loss somewhere at the right time. You can't lose to Alabama, more than likely. But you could still win it outright or win a share of it if the loss comes at the right time. But go ahead and turn on that mentality, because you're also going to have to, as soon as that stretch of games ends, you're going to have it once again.
Yeah. I mean, when you're building a championship program, like an ideal championship team, elite point guard, elite big, elite scoring, defense, depth, Tennessee has all that.
Yeah. They
have the tools to win a national championship.
If we had an elite sixth man night in, night out, because some nights you got one. If you had one night in, night out, I'd feel – so let's see that guy turn it on, because I'd feel a lot better.
Yeah. I mean, and it could be – Jemai. It could be Ganey. It could be Tobe.
It's three guys that could have it, that there's nights where they have been elite. They haven't done it consistently. That's why I didn't name a name, because there's a few guys that could be that elite sixth man.
Yeah. Yeah, they got the tools for sure. Well, let's go win us one. Need it.
Win the regular season first. Once, baby steps, baby. Next one.
Talking about winning the NCAA tournament, well, let's talk about just beating the NCAA.
I would also like to say, when we're saying that, I think Landon understands, and I understand how absurd it is to even talk about that. Even if you're playing in like the Elite Eight, talking about winning a title, It is incredibly hard. But the fact of the matter is, there's a lot of teams that could win it. Tennessee's in that.
Yeah.
Absolutely. In that name. Could and should and would and will are so far away from each other in this sport. But it's very – I don't know if Tennessee's ever had a team that could, in terms of – not that they haven't been good enough, but in terms of like the reasons you just mentioned, What makes them such a good basketball team.
This is their best chance to win one.
This is their best team that's been built for a run in March.
Yeah.
Now, still got to go do it. It's really difficult, but it's possible. Yeah. NCAA.
Yeah. Just got us a win, man. And I'm not going to talk on here like I understand everything that's going on, but from what I know, the NCAA has two options, basically. Get the hell out, number one. Or number two, take it to trial and probably your name getting dragged through the mud even more than it already is.
I don't think they have two options. They've had one option since the Supreme Court ruled that NIL was going to be a thing and it was legal, and that was adapt or die. That was their option. You either adapt or you die. They refused to adapt. And they are grasping for every last breath. Because they refuse to adapt, they will cease to exist very, very soon. Yeah. And it's not Tennessee's fault, but you're welcome. It is their refusal for the last 10 years to prepare for something that everyone saw coming.
Yeah, and all those like opposing fans are like, oh, well, Tennessee gets to, like, oh, they get to cheat now. Well, every athletic program in America, or at least ones that are competitive in any sport,
everyone
that utilize NIL is happy that this happened. And yes.
Yeah. And on the surface, though, there might be some administrators that pretend they're not, but there are. I tweeted it this week alone. You had a Georgia article come out about Mike Matthews, and I'm naming two of, like Landon said, so many instances of the same thing, but about how they had a good NIL offer packaged together for Mike Matthews. I don't know if Georgia fans know, or they're going to pretend they don't know who Mike Matthews is, and then the casuals won't know who he was. So let me tell you, he's never been on your campus. He's never been a part of your program. You know why? Because he's a Tennessee volunteer, and you had a strong NIL offer for him. It's the same thing we're talking about in court right now, or were.
Yeah.
LSU's been handing out strong-ass offers since before Will Wade got investigated by the FBI. Mm-hmm. It's to pretend Tennessee's the only one cheating in your mind. But also, those rules were not in place. It wasn't Tennessee. Let me educate you on this case. It was someone that was declared a booster after the collectives were declared boosters. They weren't even, as far as we know, the NCAA's never proven otherwise. They weren't a booster prior to this being a collective. They got declared a booster after they was said collectives are boosters. They're the ones that signed Nico, paid Nico, put Nico on a plane. Not the University of Tennessee. Josh Heupel wasn't calling with strong-ass offers. And if he was, the NCAA doesn't have proof of it.
Yeah.
So this isn't brand new in any stretch of the imagination. We've talked about it. SMU. That was what, the 80s, 70s? Mm-hmm. UNLV basketball. Talk about meaningless programs, but they were good then. Known for it. I mean, you said large programs. There's been plenty of small programs, quote unquote, tied up in this forever. This isn't new. And NIL has brought it forward, and the NCAA refused to adapt. The SEC and Big Ten, somewhat publicly, are already preparing to break away. Privately, they may already have their ducks in a row for all we know.
Yeah, I just love that the whole argument with the NCAA was like, we're here for the student athletes. No, you're not, because you're trying to like punish a student athlete for wanting to talk about NIL deals before he signs. They're like, no, you can't talk with a collective. You can talk to them, but you can't talk specifics. I mean, that's a recruiting tool. I mean, you're going to take a job not knowing what you're going to make? No, you're not.
Yeah,
you're
going to
know exactly what you make before sign and take that job. And it's the same thing.
And I don't disagree with situations like the Florida collective where you're a player's promised money and doesn't see any of it or doesn't see the number. Again, as far as we know, and Nico's still at Tennessee, he even went through an entire year where he wasn't a starter. If he didn't get paid and wasn't a starter, newsflash, he gone.
Yeah.
So we have to assume he's getting paid what he was promised. He's still at Tennessee. This isn't a situation where you're protecting the athlete's best interest.
Yeah.
If there were contracts that weren't being honored by collectives, sure, come in, bust down the doors. But this isn't the situation. So, like you said, you can't pretend you're protecting student athletes when you're doing that.
Yeah.
And if you want to protect student athletes, then go do it, because the problem is you're sinking your teeth in on things that you can't impact because the court has already ruled you can't. This wasn't new. A lot of people don't understand how the judge is ruling in favor of Tennessee. It's people that want to see Tennessee suck. It's not like they were laughing when all this came about. They want to pretend they're unbiased. They're just reporting. Some of these are real reporters, like the unnamed, because I don't want to give them any more publicity than they want so desperately to get paid $35,000 a year by Yahoo. But there's those guys. They're the guys that pretend to be reporters, that pretend to know something, that just tweet their lawyers, and they think that gives them a JD. Not how that works. Those people don't – if you're a lawyer, you can't see the correlation between this and what the Supreme Court ruled several years ago. It was very clear. I didn't know how soon that they were going to eventually rule in favor of Tennessee. The NCAA was not going to have teeth on this, and they're sinking their teeth in things that don't matter rather than going at things they can impact. They're going to die. This is the death of the NCAA, and I'm kind of convinced that it is the member schools. Let's remember that. I'm kind of thinking this might be a ploy by member schools to quietly break away.
Well, Greg Sankey and the Big Ten, they already have like a board of directors committee kind of thing. Yeah, they're already trying to set up shop. Well, where like, what do we need the NCAA for?
Well, the NCAA talks about parity. And this goes into the whole college football thing. That no matter what you do, there will never be parity between University of Tennessee and a school like MTSU. Then why do they compete for the same national championship? You already have it structured where you could realistically have parity between Division I, Division II, Division III in your mind. So why can't you break that up even more? Again, you say you're for the schools, be for the schools. You don't give 70 teams a year a shot in hell of competing for a championship. Remind me about parity again. You already have it structured to cater to the Power Five, but now you stop here? In basketball, at least you have auto bids for those teams.
Yeah,
you give them a chance. They get to play in the tournament. Same for baseball. So don't come and say parody, parody, parody. You don't give a rat's ass about parody until it's something that you want to try to strong arm and say, I've got power. And you don't.
Yeah. Yeah, they bit off a little bit more than they could chew with all this. I hope it was worth it. I really do, because this is like you said, this is the beginning of the end. And I do want
I don't think it's the beginning of the end. I think it's maybe another phase of the end, the beginning of another phase of the end. I knew when they weren't ready for the NIL originally, it was going to be a slow, painful death. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I've been saying for a long time they refused to adapt.
Just suffering.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't worry, all their lawyer buddies in Indianapolis are getting paid on the way out at a tune of like $1,800 an hour. That's another thing.
They're happy, they're happy to lose cases.
When's the FBI going to investigate them? They've got like 37 lawyers getting paid boatloads of money. That sounds embezzling to me. Because who's footing that bill? Isn't this the member schools that own this? Who's footing that bill?
Yeah, I don't know. Sorry, NCAA, I hate it for you. But this is what you get. You dug your own grave. I'm sure there's more cases, but like when they were doing all the like transfer stuff of granting this kid a waiver and not this kid that had like a dying grandmother back at home. That's when it was just like, get out.
Yeah. And then again, you're going to pretend you're about the players. You obviously have some level of proof Jim Harbaugh actually did something wrong. You went and suspended him. If you cared about the players, then you would punish those who cheated, but they won a national championship this year. Mm-hmm. So did he or didn't he cheat? Because I don't know. And when he got suspended, I was like, oh, well, they have proof he did something. No, I'm not convinced they do anymore.
Yeah, they're just like, hey, Jim, like, and this might come back. If you just go ahead and leave, we'll build you a statue. We appreciate it, and good luck to you.
And they just drug poor Connor Stallion's name through the mud. There's not any number of vacuums to clean him off after that one.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got thousands, and that won't even do the job.
Yeah.
I'm on Connor Stallion's side.
I do want to mention that so with the injunction, now those rules, I guess, the NCAA has put in place with the NIL, those have come to a halt. In the state,
which is hilarious,
Tennessee and Virginia. So there has to be more if your state wants to get involved with that. So I do want to mention that Tennessee was first in fighting for the student athletes. So if, you know, recruits out there, if you want to listen to this and just make sure you're aware that if you're wondering if any school has your back, Tennessee.
Well, I would also like to say, it's funny that people pretend there's different rules for different states. First off, there are. And I don't know which side of the political spectrum you're on, but I'm going to guess that if you watch college football, for the most part, you probably support states' rights. So shut up. Second off, Missouri's had a rule where high school athletes can get NIL only if they go to a state school. Mm-hmm. That seems wild to me that could ever be a thing. But again, whatever.
And it's not like they have Auburn and Alabama in the same state. It's just Missouri really is the only one that has any kind of shot to even utilize NIL for, you know, athletic gain.
Yeah. Funniest part about all this is, as far as we're aware, as far as the NCAA has brought forward, there was zero proof that Tennessee and their collectives did this after NICO when the rules were in place that you couldn't. There was no proof. So essentially they said, Tennessee's been following the rules, but before we played that rule, they did this, and we want to punish them. So in fact, you just did it to yourself, because again, if you had proof that they cheated, you should have brought that forward in notice of allegations. You might have had teeth in that scenario. You may have. It didn't help that you tried to say, well, they broke rules before we even had them. That doesn't help your cause. So
and all they really what were could you have chasing done at all is – they could have maybe made NICO ineligible, or they could have banned the collective for a year, kind of like they did at Florida, I think. They banned
Well, they may banned him. They just disbanded that collective altogether.
Yeah, and probably made a new one with a different name, like Michael Scott Paper Company.
Yeah.
Sure. So that was basically all they could do, because they said at the beginning that nobody at the University of Tennessee has done anything wrong in their investigation. No names were mentioned. So that's all they could have done, is probably made Nico ineligible or make the NI collective change their name.
Right, which again, I have a conspiracy theory. Maybe need to dig a little bit deeper on it. Maybe get some FOIs, Freedom of Information Act. Yeah, get those rolling to see Danny White's text message. We know that ADs and even meaningless reporters are buddies, and I maybe think Danny couldn't go after the NCAA without a reason to. Like, he couldn't throw the first punch, but he could punch back. So I think maybe he leaked some of this to Pat Forty. This is all conspiracy. This is hold on. Can we get the lights turned down a little bit? This is conspiracy theory, Tom. This is a YouTube video where I'm telling you to follow the signs, Landon. I think Danny might have texted Pat Forty with this information and said, "Hey, here's what's going on. You might need to look into this. See what's up." And once that article was printed, he's able to throw punches back and go after the NCAA. If that didn't happen, whoever at the NCAA leaked it to Pat Forty, you're an idiot. You could have been doing all this quietly. No one was the wiser. Tennessee didn't know. They didn't have notice of allegations. They didn't know what was going on. So if you're the one that leaked that to Pat Forty, thank you. First off, you're an idiot. The NCAA used to have power. If they do, they should try you for treason.
Yeah. Also, Pat Forty, Dan Wetzel, learn the name. He's not going anywhere, so learn his name.
It's just funny, too. If this guy was at Alabama, people would be salivating over him.
Yeah.
Maybe not now with Saban gone, but before, oh, my gosh.
Yeah. All right. Let's you got a good friend to tell us about before we get into baseball?
Yeah, this one was needed tonight. I don't know why. I sat down, laid down. I guess I shouldn't have laid down. Just before this, Landon texted me at like 7:45. Thankfully, I woke up. So I had to go get some coffee on the pot, and big shout out to Grade A Grounds. It's hitting. I had to stop drinking it because I didn't want to be up all night, but you know, to get ready for this episode, bring some energy like we like to bring, and Grade A Grounds does that. Make sure you go over, check out Grade A Grounds right now. There's links to their website on Twitter, their Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, wherever you're using, watching this. Their local coffee roasting company. I could use some more, I guess, in Kingsport, Tennessee. They're owned by two educators. They're both teachers in the Johnson City area. If you know teachers and coffee are hand in hand, hand in hand. It kind of like NCAA football and cheating. Like they just, it's always been a thing, always will be a thing.
Sure.
It's part of it. Their main goal as a company, though, while it is to make great coffee, their big focus is giving back to students in their area. They do that by donating 5% of all sales to a nonprofit organization that supports students all over Tri-Cities called Coalition for Kids. That money goes directly towards keeping a classroom at Coalition for Kids stocked with the necessary supplies needed for students. Another goal is to allow students the opportunity to display their artistic talents. All the labels that you see that you'll get, those are made by students in their art classroom. They display their first name, their school, to give them recognition. They work hand in hand with their schools and their art teachers to display that artwork with whatever theme. That bag you're getting there, B is for Blueberry. All the labels rock. Love seeing that artwork on display. Love Grade A Grounds coffee. Also love that Grade A Grounds is supporting their community. And you'll find other ways they're supporting not just the Tri-Cities community, but the Knoxville community here soon as we release some information on an event we're excited about. I know that'll be coming out in the next few days. So shout out to Grade A Grounds. We really appreciate them and all they do, not just for the community, but keeping me awake in the mornings.
Yep, go check them out. All right, little baseball, man.
Good weekend.
Back in Lindsey Nelson, I do want to mention kind of the stadium because did get to see it for the first time. Love the renovations. I think you can tell it's not done, but man, it just feels more enclosed. It feels more just like, you're talking about community. It just feels like community when you step in there. So I really like the new section there, like the bullpen. I love having guys like get to come out of like a door. It's like
where's the bullpen now?
It's so like it's like in the corner.
I got you.
Of right, left field, sorry. Kind of in where between the porches and where that news section is, it's kind of under that. So really cool. Again, that's not done, but definitely a lot better than it's looked.
Get some added records. A record opening day crowd.
Yeah, I don't want to hear that. I think that's total horse crap. To be honest,
were you there on Friday?
Well, they said it's Saturday too.
Hmm.
So it's there's so many open seats and it.
But there's also more open seats than there's ever been.
Yeah, I just don't love. There's too many open seats for me to say like it's a sellout crowd. Too many open seats.
Well, they did say sellout, not max capacity, Landon. Let's not get into semantics here.
It's just, man, stop selling to corporate. Good God. I don't know how you stop,
To be fair, while it is corporate's fault, especially the weather on Saturday, and then the 4:30 starts, can we get rid of those on weekdays? Yeah. At least five at the earliest.
Yeah.
But to be fair, we knew when this stadium got renovated, these games were going to be empty. Now, we were talking about LSU series. That place will be full and buzzing.
It will, but like, I don't want to see like a record when you have, I don't know, 1,000 seats open. I don't know, especially around home plate right there. That should be full every single game. There's too many people around, standing room only, wherever they're at.
Yeah, think about
not the kids. Have that section full. Like those pitchers, they need that. They want to feel that energy. We talked about Grade A grounds getting some energy. We need that energy. They need that energy out there. You know, when there's two strikes, there's two outs. You start that clap going. You get that pitcher fired up a little bit. Maybe get some extra ticks on the velo.
If you're a corporate,
I need to see more. I expect more.
If you've got corporate tickets behind home plate and you won't use them for any series, but especially the LSU series, holler at your boy. I mean, listen, I'm old. I'm fat. I'm not ashamed to go tarps off for the camera, though, if I need to get this team dubs. So it'll be entertaining. I won't tell anybody that I'm with your business.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say I stole these tickets. I found them.
Yeah.
But I'll do it.
Yeah.
I'll paint your business on my chest. I'll do whatever you want. I will be your corporate slave if you give me those tickets behind home plate.
Yeah.
Or I mean, like, the porch.
Like, and if they're that corporate tickets – have them sell the porch, like get them out in the outfield or somewhere. You can't see that.
This is why we need luxury. We need luxury boxes. Gotta get going.
It's embarrassing. It really is. So that's my talk. And I hate that I felt that way.
This is what happens when you move the stadiums towards being a vestal of the community to a Bearden West Knoxville of the community. People don't show up. Look at the south end zone. I haven't sat in a game in the south end zone in a long time where I haven't been, or my nuts haven't been tucked in between my legs. I'm sitting like this.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I want to feel.
Yeah. I mean, there were so many open seats. I felt like it was COVID again. I felt like we were, you know, you had to have six feet away from everybody.
There's already a conspiracy. We only get into conspiracy theories. I mean, freaking deer zombie disease or whatever's coming up next. I can see it coming around the pike. Landon's over here just throwing around that name willy-nilly.
But good weekend for Tennessee baseball, other than, you know, people just not attending the game that you pay to go to. That's another thing.
What about the people who leave games early, though? That's kind of frustrating, too, right?
Yeah, it is. It is. Not when it's 21. Not when you're up 21-3.
The run rule is on today because I got to imagine Albany had to get back to school.
Yeah, probably. So, like, both teams have to agree on it at the beginning of the series. And I think Tony Vitello is never going to want to he understands like today, like that team is, I think, drove all the way down here. So they're going to have to go back to New York. So I think he was okay with doing it on Sunday, but yeah, he wants to play as many people as possible, get those pitchers some work, get those guys that normally probably wouldn't see the weekends, get that opportunity to do so. And so he likes taking full advantage of getting those guys some playing time.
Don't forget, these guys are students first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They got class on Monday.
Yeah, they're not here to play school.
Based on what I saw this weekend, they are at the University of Albany to play school.
Oh, yeah, I thought you were talking about Tennessee.
I don't know. But I'm pretty confident I can make a assumption on the University of Albany.
Yeah, I will say this about Albany. Not as bad as they weren't Iona a couple years ago bad. They weren't that.
No.
So I appreciate them coming out.
But we stayed for that entire game.
Yeah, we did. Oh, God, that was horrible. Tennessee outscored the Great Danes. Awesome nickname, by the way. I love the catcher that was in, like, all gray. It just seemed right.
Yeah.
But outscored them 41-11. My mathing. And everybody hits. Everybody scores, especially in that second game. You had a run rule today in seven innings. You won that one 12-0. One Friday, 8-5. They scored three in the last two innings, kind of make it closer than what it was. But a lot of home runs, a lot of big hits. I mean, that lineup is nasty. They're dangerous. And I think they, like, spend so much time focusing on guys that they know are going to be in the big leagues, like Blake Burke and Christian Moore and Billy Amick, that they forget about guys like Dalton Bargo and Kvaris Tears and Robin Villeneuve. I mean, those guys had a weekend. Yeah. And even though that it was a little colder, there was no wall scrapers for home runs this weekend. I mean, we were clearing batters' eyes, clearing the porches. It was awesome to see. Just being back in Lindsey Nelson was fun, but also getting to see kind of these guys up close. I think right. Tennessee, and I mentioned this on the bat flip, that Tennessee, this is the deepest they've ever been.
Yeah.
Since Tony Vitello's been here. And, I mean, the pitching, I feel like is going to come. I know it's not like – it's not mowing people down, but it's still really good. And we're playing Absolutely. Really good defense behind them. And if you're able to score 10 runs, I don't care what they give up. You're winning.
You should. I hope. So. Yeah. No, this seems really exciting. I know these next few games and series are really important, but, man, am I excited to get into conference play with this group. I'm ready for that. I want to see that.
Yeah, and I know it wasn't good competition. It wasn't. But you're going to see a little bit better competition with Bowling Green next weekend. And then the next weekend you have Illinois, who's already played some pretty tough competition. I think they played Wake Forest already. I think that was a team Burns had like 10 strikeouts against. So
we'll be careful, Landon.
Yeah.
I was going to mention him because people say rent free, but he gave up 5 hits and 3 runs against Dayton this weekend. And that's not rent free because you told us about him first, Wake Forest. So
yeah,
I wasn't thinking about him until you created the narrative, if you will. Back to Tennessee though. Yeah, no, I was telling someone how fired up I am for this team, but it's one of those. I mean, you feel it every football season when you're excited for a team. Every basketball season, you're like, all right, I just want to get through this. These stretch of games that quote unquote don't matter. Obviously, if you lose them, they matter, but they feel like they don't matter. You're ready to get into things that matter. This all feels kind of like preseason, which is fine. It's good. These guys need it. Get into it. But open with Alabama. Is that our first series? SEC series? Yeah. Okay. Ready to get into Alabama.
Yeah. Also,
we do play Illinois in a weekend series. Is that – are they good? I honestly don't know.
They're not great, no.
Yeah.
But they are like – they are.
But they're going to be better than five. These teams.
Yeah. So it kind of like – you kind of lead up to Alabama. Like you get
right
Albany, you get Bowling Green next week, you get Illinois, and then you get Alabama. So
you get to play Kansas State in a one game.
Yeah.
Midway.
Yeah. So, yeah, there's some healthy competition in there, and I'm sure it's not easy to – get people on the phone and be like, hey, do you want to come down here and play us? Like, that's not an easy phone call to just take. No,
and we don't have any money to pay you because you'll see when you get to the facility. You'll see it. But
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got to go somewhere. You see all those empty seats? Yeah, we just sell them to people who won't actually go to the games.
Hey, but they're sold, baby.
They are sold. Yeah. Money talks, I guess. Another thing that kind of bothered me a little bit, Drew Beam not wearing the cream is just criminal. It's horrible.
Let's be fair to this.
Drew Beam doesn't like it either. There's no way he does.
I don't think you can wear it. It wouldn't feel right on Saturday either. Maybe it would feel more right with Drew Beam in it, but it wouldn't feel right on Saturday, especially a Saturday night. Those jerseys don't deserve. They're too beautiful to be worn under fake lights. It's meant for the sun. It's meant for the Sunday sun.
Well, you played Saturday during the day.
I know, but most of the time. It was also dreary. It was dreary. You can't deny that. The dreary Saturday.
Beam and the cream.
The lights were on.
I don't care when he pitches. Beam and the cream is what we need. And
so you said he doesn't like it. We've been told that the pitchers get to pick what they wear. Do you think he's being overruled?
I think so.
Or do you think you think he respects that they're a Sunday uniform? Which side do you think he's falling on?
I think he's probably getting overruled.
Wow. So you're saying there's some more drama in the locker room this year, huh?
Yeah, I think it's probably has to do with volunteer traditions, giving them that NIL deal. He's like, hey, we need you in more orange. So sorry. Gotta wear orange.
Okay.
I don't know that. Wow. But
that's a big story coming out right now.
Yeah. That is not true at all. That is not true at all.
If Tony has a black eye this year, just know that he told Drew Beam again that he couldn't wear his Sunday cream on Saturday.
Yeah.
They got into a scrap.
But it was cool having Xander wear it.
Good point.
Xander almost start again, look good.
Dick's Sporting Goods, that outlet thing they have in West Knoxville. First off, awesome. I got some new golf shoes for $35.
Oh, really?
They're nice. They're nice. They're like originally like $130, $140. Right. Okay, they were already half off, marked down to like $70.
The outlet store? Or?
Yeah, that Go-Go Gone thing. And then they were 50% off of already 50% off.
That's a store. It's not like, I forget what that is. It Abercrombie and Fitch or Air Apostle, where it's like they always have like, going out of business signs up, and it's like 70% off. It's like how many years are we going on like almost going out of business?
Right.
You're still making clothes.
This is the old Dick's Sporting Goods. I don't know how it ends up there, but it feels like Dick's version of their own Ross TJ Maxx kind of deal.
Okay.
Like stuff that's stuff that was probably on the shelf last year. Now they're making room for more kind of deal.
So no, you won't see like a Jake Locker Titans
no, not from there. Not from 6 years ago. No, okay. there was a Kevin Byard Titans jersey though, which similar, but this was just what he got traded last year, right?
Yeah.
And it was it was one of those where like if it's cheap enough, you might pull the trigger because it was the Oilers one.
Mm.
It's pretty sweet. But yeah, I mean it's not as cheap as Ross and all that necessarily, but obviously you can find good deals like those shoes and whatnot. The reason I mentioned it is they had a huge bucket of Big League Chew. Almost did it.
Okay.
Almost did it. Yeah. May have to go back this week and do that.
Yeah. Love it. Love baseball being back. Who do we have? We have High Point.
High Point.
On Tuesday, 4:30 again.
I don't get it. It's so frustrating.
Yeah. And then Bowling Green, 6:30 on Friday. Then you have Saturday at 6, and then Sunday at 1. So should be another good weekend of baseball. You don't have the two midweek games. You just have the one. But, man, I'm liking this team. I really am. Yeah. I think they look the part so far. And I think they're only going to get better the more they play. They're playing a lot of young guys, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
a lot future's of bright. Young guys, but yeah.
Yeah,
young.
Future's bright. All right. I have one person to tell you guys about. Guys, go check out Roback. That is Roback. Roback.com. Promo code More Important Issues, 20% off your first purchase. They have great quality clothing, Q-zips, hoodies, polos, t-shirts, crew necks, anything, pants, joggers, anything you want. They got it. Go check them out. Again, promo code More Important Issues will get you 20% off your first purchase.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not complaining, but a little bit complaining. The rowback item I wear the most is just a plain gray sweater. Incredibly comfortable, goes with everything, wear it all the time. It's also the one I get the most compliments on. It's kind of frustrating because it's just plain gray, but that tells you how good this stuff is. Everybody loves it, even the plain gray. So
solid.
If you're like me and you want to get compliments and you're fishing for them, just wear that.
Yeah. Easy. Get yourself noticed. Yeah. All right. We did have a question. Yeah, this one we tweeted out this week, and I want to get your take on it just real quick. What is your favorite Tennessee uniform combination? Let's do currently on campus.
Any sport?
Any sport.
That's tough. I love the simplicity of our home basketball uniforms. I'm not a big fan of the script, by the way. I'm not a big fan of the script. It just doesn't look – I think it was a good thing to wear like one time. The script is beautiful. I just think it looks like a baseball uniform.
Okay.
But I love the simplicity. It's old school without like being in your face old school, the home jerseys.
Yeah.
I love the lettering on top and bottom. So that's a really good one. I don't know if it might be too simple to me. Well, my other favorite's going to be incredibly simple too. The all orange, not the helmet, but the orange pants, orange jersey is
creamsicle.
My favorite, without the black cleats. I love all orange. Baseball, if I was gonna compete, it'd probably be the cream.
Yeah,
but I've yet to see black on pinstripe, and I think that would quickly become my favorite.
Okay,
I don't know if they're ever gonna do it. I think that's one of the best looks in a baseball uniform.
We don't even really wear the pinstripes anymore.
They said they don't like it. They were waiting to get new ones. I think they finally got new ones. They said they were super heavy, the material.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to see them. I do love the pinstripe. I think cream or pinstripe is probably up there for baseball.
I don't think it'd look good on a baseball uniform, but the orange pinstripe softball uniforms are gorgeous.
Yeah. Yeah. They look good.
I think you got to stick with the black pinstripes for the baseball team. But yeah, the orange ones on the softball team look great.
I love the away football uniforms with the orange pants.
Yeah, that's up there.
That looks so
it looks so good on TV too. Yeah.
It's crazy.
I don't know if I've ever seen us wear orange pants on the road. Did we wear them against South Carolina? I guess we did. Yeah, we did. That was bad. Don't ever do that again.
Yeah.
I saw them wear them at Kentucky in 2019.
I think we did it. Did we do it against Missouri?
I don't remember.
Got killed that game too. Maybe we shouldn't wear them, but they look good.
I would like to see baseball find an alternate for our current grays. I don't think our current road grays look good.
No, I would rather them wear the black. If you're going to go alternate, go black and wear the gray baseball pants.
That, yeah, or go classic old school. All go with that lighter baseball gray. With just like a script on it or something, I think would look good. It would scream, we're playing a spring game in 1950 in Florida, but I think it'd look good.
Yeah.
Especially with an orange hat.
Yeah, it looks good. Got a lot of good looking. I like the black football jerseys too.
Yeah. I don't love our black baseball uniforms, but like just, I don't love that.
Nike
that two font. Button look and that Nike font. I don't love it. I think it just do the script or I really don't love our whites, but I think they look good.
The icy whites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're not my favorite, but I think they at least look good. Whereas I think the black ones, the lettering on it looks good. I think it looks good because it's a white jersey.
I would like to see a white one with – I think they sell the jerseys, but we've never worn them. Okay. I'd like to see with the script logo on there.
Yeah.
See what those look like. Yeah. A lot of good uniforms. Just want to get that out there. I don't think we have any more questions other than that. Yeah, I don't think so. Let's get into most important. Caleb might have cut out here real quick. I'll go ahead and read off my most importance real quick.
Hey, real quick. Can you hear me? Oh, there he goes.
Yep, I got you now.
Well, it looked like you cut out. That's why I was confused.
Okay. We're back.
I've got mine.
Dang, I don't even. Oh, yeah, you go ahead.
If you guys know us, we're band people. B-A-N-D, band, band, band. Love the band. Kansas State, Sedona Prince, or Kansas State, TCU, all purple. You know it. Also, Big 12 school. Doesn't help. She loves the band, too. I don't know if you'll be able to see this video.
I love them. Well, they're so awesome. Oh, thank you for asking.
Wait, talk to
it. I don't know if you guys see it. Every game I go and after I cheer them.
Loves the band.
Thank you. I give them the wristbands. I love them. Because, you know, when you think about it, like, they, those kids, you know, have to go and practice every
day. Right, she goes through this whole thing about, honestly, especially basketball season. I was talking about this with someone. It'd be way worse to be a cheerleader or a band member during basketball season than a player. They have to go to the women's and men's games, plus whatever appearances they're doing. And it would be a lot. It'd be terrible every night. But anyways, love the band. She loves the band.
That's awesome.
Band, B-A-N-D. I want to see more.
You need more credit.
More sellies with the band. Yeah. We're jumping in the crowd, jumping the band.
Yeah. Maybe watch out, but yeah.
I mean, go head on through a cymbal or something. We need more rock and roll.
Yeah. I mean, mine is Riley Green. Got to go to the Riley Green concert. Great concert, by the way. But he has a lot of songs that kind of, he's from Alabama. He's actually an Auburn fan, but he has a lot of songs about like the Tennessee Alabama rivalry. And there's one in it where, I think it's, I forget what song it is. Hell of a Way to Go. That's what it is. And it's talking, I'd like to be on the 50-yard line. Watching Alabama whoop up on Tennessee. And he was like, man, you know, it was a really good song. And I wrote that in 2022. And he's like, you guys actually beat Alabama that year. So I think for that sake, I have to change up the lyrics to it. And so he actually sang the lyrics of Alabama getting their ass whooped by Tennessee. So it was awesome.
I saw that one. Did he sing it normally as well? Because I saw a video where he got booed during it.
Yeah, he was like, y'all can, he's like, I know y'all are going to boo me, and that's cool. Like, y'all boo me. And then after we did it a couple times, and he's like, man, I've never been booed by that many people, and I think that's one hell of a way to go. And then he changed the lyrics. So, yeah, just an awesome concert. And he just kind of leaned into, like, the rivalry of Alabama and Tennessee and – understood it, and it was cool.
Yeah,
and he sang Dixieland a lot, so that was cool too.
Oh, what a muppet! Just like I just want to hear people cheer for him. Be hated. this is why. Well,
he did say he's like, I'm not an Alabama fan.
This is okay, good. People were saying he might be an Auburn fan.
He is,
or his grandfather was an Alabama fan though. Yeah. Or something. That's what that was about. Yeah. That's why I respect. As much as I hate and despise Darius Rucker, I respect him. He got on stage, said "F you, Tennessee," and I hope that he has to cancel his Thompson Bowling Arena concert because of it. Hootie and the Blowfish rock. Way better than Darius Rucker. They rock. But that dude's a scumbag piece of shit that does not deserve to sell tickets in the state.
I'm in, yeah.
They haven't canceled the concert yet. I've been waiting on it. I've got a most important slash fail.
Okay.
It looked like Cam Newton was at one of his camps. Or maybe a 7-on-7 camp that he goes to.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe got jumped by children, which is incredibly hilarious if it comes out these dudes are like 17. I mean, they still got bullied, but it'd be funny if even you find out. Cam Newton's not necessarily been down, but he's not been up either. I think he's officially down if 17-year-olds are even bold enough to jump you.
Mm-hmm.
And they look, I mean, part of it is Cam Newton's like 6'6", so anybody around him looks like children.
Yeah, and he, like, there's a lot of videos that have gone around over the years with these seven on of him like talking crap to like kids and stuff. It's like,
and they're bold enough to talk back. So
yeah,
not a good look for Cam. But yeah, Cam had no problems taking care of those guys. Now he didn't get beat up like Dak Prescott did. He also didn't land as many good ones as Dak Prescott did in his Panama City jumping. But I think this is a dub for Cam Newton right now.
Yeah,
big loss for the guys that tried to jump him, because that was probably the most unsuccessful jump of all time, right?
Yeah,
they had the edge on him. They knew it was coming, I assume. They had the numbers on him. And then his weird goofy hat never even came off. I know that thing doesn't sit well on his head, but it stayed on his head the whole time.
Yeah, just not a good look. You can't 2v1 somebody and get
bored. Oh, I thought it was more than two.
Well, yeah, there was another guy that threw a punch. And the punch was landed in such a weird place where I don't know if I assume he was swinging at Cam Newton, but it also could have hit one of the kids in the back of the neck. So
Cam Newton had them both by the neck at one point, or yeah, two of them by the neck. And I will say, I'm not a Dak Prescott fan by any means, but I don't think he gets enough respect for holding his own. He got jumped in Panama City, and he held his own. He held his own. Like, that dude fought, and credit to him. One of my favorite videos is just hilarious. That was when World Star was good.
Yeah.
Also, if you're going to film a fight, just do it right. If you're filming a fight, put like, you at that, the moment you open your phone to film a fight, you quit your job as a spectator, a commentator, and your job is just to film. Keep that thing steady. Keep the shot in focus. If you want to cheer and hoop and holler and do your thing, then don't open the phone.
Yeah.
Like, can we just agree on that? Just do a good job filming if you're going to film a fight. Because if you get home and you watch the video, it's not like you're reliving the experience. You're watching the ground half the time.
Yeah, and like a lot of people were just like, yeah, it looks like Cam Newton broke up a fight. No, he was like,
it does. At one point when he's holding him like that, it does kind of look like he broke up a fight.
He was kind of breaking up his own fight, I guess. Yeah. That's awesome. I did have another fail. It was in the Grand Canyon game. Did you see this against Nebraska? Tyler Wilson hit a game tying grand slam and then got ejected because he flipped the bat. It's like, are we still doing this?
If you're an umpire that does that, you're a scumbag. Unless that bat is heaved 90 feet to first base, or 65 feet to first, or home plate, the pitcher's mound. I can't think of what it is. Unless he threw it at the pitcher is what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
There's no reason to eject him.
No. It's so dumb. I mean, he just hit a grand slam to tie the game. Like, what?
Oh, and it's one of those things. Act like you've been there before. Tell me what you would do, you fat ump, because you've never done it. So tell me what you would do.
Exactly. Exactly.
Also, you can't let the moment be for long enough to even think about this call. So why don't you act like you've been there, ump? Why don't you act like you've seen a grand slam before?
Yeah. Incredibly dumb. I got one more too. It's did you see that Dallas Mavericks fan call KD a bitch?
Yeah.
And he could start doing that. And then they tried to dap him up and he was like, hey, funny thing, like I have this podcast that talks about sports. I'm like, damn, that's me.
Well, outside of the initial interaction.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I would like if I was gonna call somebody that and he came up to me, I'd be like, yeah, like you're a bitch. I wouldn't try to dab him up like this lady. I mean, just an all time
dude. And people are making fun of her. I'm like, nah, that girl's living life. Credit to her.
Yeah.
Also, what? So they're incredibly stupid. Those fans are. What does KD think he's gonna win there by confronting them? Why don't I just don't get why you don't ignore that stuff.
I don't know.
You really think people are going to be on your side if you beat the shit out of a lady looking like that, no matter what she says?
Yeah. But also, like, own it. Like, it's...
Yeah, no, you got to own it.
It's a home game for you. Like, yeah, just own it. Enjoy your $15 beer that you have. Your $15, you know...
Dang, Bush Mark Cuban still charging $15?
I'm sure. And man, don't tell KD you a podcast talks about sports. He doesn't care.
What if KD goes on that podcast though? I think if KD he thinks he's a troll. So if he wants to master troll every other podcast that's asked him to come on, he's got to go on that one.
I do think we should get this guy on our podcast.
Yeah. Open invite.
Yeah.
I'm gonna call
if you see this
right to his face. Yeah. Over the camera.
Actually, we could have him in studio here and then just call him that.
Every question's just him actually calling him. Yeah.
And then if he does anything about it, we could successfully jump.
Hey, we have like a podcast.
Guys that did not do.
Like, no, I think we just tell him, like, hey, man, it's all love. We got a podcast.
You're on it. That's on those boards.
I love doing this, but honestly, I love doing this. It is so hard to tell people you have a podcast sometimes. I know how lame I am. To say that to KD, that dude's got huevos. I think that was bolder than calling him a bitch. Personally,
yeah, probably. Yeah. It's like everybody has a podcast now. It's on, like it used to be kind of cool. Now it's like,
well, yeah. I don't think it was. I mean, you do this twice a week. You don't get anything other than fun, and that's good for me. I'm having fun personally. I'm okay with it. I just know how it looks on the outside.
Yeah. Well, like when we first started doing it, I feel like it was, oh, like that's cool, and now it's like, oh, like what thousand Tennessee podcasts are you?
We're actually all of them.
Yeah.
So. We should just start new. I've said that. We should just rename the podcast every week. Like we're brand new. We should have going out of business sales.
Okay.
And open a new one.
Yeah. Kind of like just a different NIL collective.
Yep.
Like Florida. Yeah.
Yep.
Anytime like we go under, like maybe we do something to get canceled and then we just open up as a different name. Just recycling.
No, I mean that's that idea's already been taken. I've got a fail. This is from the Florida Reddit. Someone posted it's one of those tier things where it says what mascots in the SEC would you win in a fight? And the odd win easy tier is Tennessee, Vanderbilt, Oklahoma, Ole Miss, Texas A&M. I have so many questions about number one, what you're fighting, what are the parameters of the fight? Because if Vanderbilt, who's a Commodore, if they have weapons. And I don't because I normally don't have weapons on me like a Commodore would. I'm probably losing that fight. If they have an anchor, I'm probably winning that fight. Like if that's all they got. Same with the Sooners. You know, they carry those guns around. I don't think I beat a gun. And then
or is Ole Miss, wagon.
Is Ole Miss a land shark or are they a black bear or are they a rebel? I think I could beat I could at least scare a black bear off. A land shark? Questionable, because does a land shark have legs or can it just breathe on land?
I don't know. I was thinking about like maybe it's like one of those, is it a DC character that's like a human / shark kind of thing?
Maybe that's another thing. Is if it's on land, is it like an amphibian? Can it breathe underwater? Because if not, if I take the fight to the water, I might have a better chance in that scenario. Just drown it. But yeah, so I'd win easy. I'm not necessarily questioning. I feel like, I mean, as much as it would pain me, like I could just snap those two dogs' necks, like no problem. They're not that big.
Oh my God.
But here's where it starts getting questionable. Not too hard. South Carolina game, a Gamecock? Dude, I would punt that thing so far. It's win easy.
Yeah, that's probably the easiest one.
Bevo, though, I don't think you know what a Longhorn is if you think not too hard. I'm not saying it's going to be the hardest one, but not too hard. Again, I just feel like in this scenario so far, he has a weapon in all this, which would probably put me over most SEC mascots.
Yeah, if you have a gun, I guess.
Right. Then this is where it gets off the rails stupid. A little challenge. Mississippi State and Georgia. When I tell you I could probably snap the other two dogs next, these I could punt at the same level I could punt.
I think he thinks a bulldog is a pit bull.
I don't know if he knows what a bulldog is. And I love dogs, but as far as bulldogs go, I don't think I'd feel anything if I punted them.
Yeah.
I might fix their breathing issues, in fact, for a moment, and then they die. But I might, for a moment, fix their breathing issues. You said you wanted to get canceled. I'm working on it.
Yeah, we're getting there.
Could go either way. He's got Kentucky. Do not think he knows what a wildcat is.
No.
You don't. Unless you have a gun, you don't win that fight.
Mm-mm.
He's got Arkansas. I think he's thinking of like a pig in a pen. I don't think he
knows. Charlotte's Webb kind of pig.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, that's going to be my morning meal.
Yeah. He's an old yeller.
Yeah. If you're fighting this thing hand and fist, you're dying. You're dead.
He's like, Dunzo. Oh, Pumbaa, I'm in.
Yeah. So I don't think he knows what those two mascots are. I don't think he knows what Alabama's mascot is either because he says, I'll try, but I don't know. If you haven't seen an elephant in the wild attack humans, I'm telling you right now, they will murder you. Those things will murder you with zero feeling in their body.
Yeah.
And then they will, you're dead. You're not moving. You're done. They will stomp you till you die.
Yeah.
Don't fight an elephant if you get the opportunity. It looks easy that, you know, what do they say? Like big things fall harder or whatever. You're going against a tougher guy. Yeah. Your parents always say it to you. The bigger you are, the harder you fall. Mm-hmm. Elephants don't do that. Physics do not apply to those things.
Mm-mm. Stable.
Yeah. Get my ass kicked. He says, Florida, LSU, Missouri, Auburn, all great points. They would win. I like my chances against a War Eagle only because I'm not big enough. Like, will that thing be able to keep coming over and over at me? Because it can't pick me up like a fish and just take me away. I'm way too fat for that. No. They probably win, but I'm saying that's probably in the, like, I won't win, but like I could probably put up a fight because it's not going to get me on the first try.
Yeah.
Gator, not a chance in the world, but I'll try. The Tigers, yeah, I'm done. Done for. So if Auburn's in the Tiger category, they win outright. But yeah, that's the dumbest list I've ever seen. Having the Bulldogs as a little challenge.
Yeah.
Does this guy just love Bulldogs? And he's like, I couldn't physically, like, it would hurt my heart to do it. Then that's fair. But you also just said you would kill the other two dogs super easy.
Like an actual hunting dog, you wouldn't have a chance, or you'd win easily. But a bulldog, no.
Yeah, that's another great point. Bulldog. If Smokey thinks I'm whatever it's hunting that day, I'm done for.
Yeah.
But if I'm able to go up, like, hey, buddy, done, easy. I never would like to say that. Poor never. God. But just saying.
That kind of reminds me.
Not that hard.
Today we're heading to the golf course, and our buddy Squirt said, we were talking about like farting and stuff, you know, guys being dudes kind of thing. And I was like, you might be like lactose intolerant. He was like, I don't know what that is. Dude,
which means he's not, to be fair.
Yeah, I lost it. Just such a innocent soul.
It's one of those things, like, if the disease doesn't exist in your mind, like, it's not real.
Exactly, yeah. All right, guys, that's all I got.
That's it for me. I am still dumbfounded. There's just no chance he knows what a wildcat or a razorback is. And like you said, no chance he knows what a bulldog is.
No shot. Yeah, pray for him.
He might not know what a longhorn is. Not too hard, he says.
He thinks it's just like a dairy cow.
But again, like, if that thing was pissed off, if that thing knew it was in a fight, I don't know. Like, it's kind of like an elephant. You might not be taking that thing.
Yeah, probably not.
Especially Boomer. Rip.
Rip. All right, guys. Thank y'all for listening. We'll be back on Thursday. We got the bat flip tomorrow night at 7. So feel free to hop in there. We'll talk strictly baseball in this weekend against Albany, where the Tennessee Vols got the sweep and improved to 7-1 on the season. So keep an eye out for that. We'll also talk about the Auburn game on next show, where Tennessee will beat Auburn and Bruce Pearl. So that'll feel good. Have a great Monday. Have a great Tuesday, Wednesday. We'll see you back on Thursday. We're bringing the boat in, and we out.